This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما. Inshallah, we'll begin from page number 4. We were studying about the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in aqeedah, what is the first and foremost thing? The most important part of faith? Belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. So when it comes to believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what kind of belief do the Ahlul Sunnah have? Everybody read together. وَمِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَبِمَا وَصَفَهُ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ وَلَا تَعْطِيلٍ وَمِنْ غَيْرِ تَكْيِيفٍ وَلَا تَمْثِيلٍ. So we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that Allah has described Himself with, or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. So any belief that we have about Allah, where does it come from? Where is it based in? The Qur'an and the Sunnah. Okay. And whatever belief we have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some things that we avoid concerning it. And what are those four things? The four T's? Tahrif, ta'atil, takif, and tamthil. What is tahrif? To distort. To alter it. To change it. Secondly, ta'atil. What is ta'atil? To abandon the meaning of it. I asked you to look at the meaning of the word ta'atil. So what does ta'atil mean? Yes? So inactivity, suspension, temporary relief. Okay? So to suspend the meaning, to abandon the meaning, to say that they are inactive. So to say things like, Allah is Samir, meaning He has the name Samir because He says, وَهُوَ Samir. But that doesn't mean that He hears. You're abandoning the meaning. What kind of a name is that? You understand? So this is ta'atil. We abstain from it. Thirdly, we keep away from takyif. And what is takyif? It's from kayf. To explain the kayfiyah. To explain how it is. So, for instance, Allah's hand, Allah's attribute of hearing, Allah's attribute of seeing, Allah's action of istawa ala al-arsh, or His nuzul, we don't describe it. Takyif is to describe the howness. Okay. Tamthil, what is tamthil? To resemble, to liken. So to say that His action is like the action of a human being. So for example, He hears like us. He sees like us. This is something that is not allowed. Read the next statement. بَلْ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So what is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There is nothing that is like Him. He has no co-equal. He has no similarity. No one who is like Him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And at the same time, He is as-Sami' and al-Basir. Now if you think about it, if He hears and He sees, doesn't the creation see and hear? Huh? They do. So then how do we reconcile this? That He sees and the creation sees, but yet there is nothing like Him. So what does it mean? That He hears in a way that is unique to Him. He sees in a way that is unique to Him. Because remember that all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are attributes of perfection. Whereas the attributes of human beings, are they attributes of perfection? No. They are, you can say, human attributes are a possibility. They're not certain. So for example, a human being possesses an ear, but it's possible that he does not hear. It's possible that he does not hear clearly. It's possible that he hears, but he misunderstands. Correct? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hearing, how is it? Perfect. You have learned earlier many times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He owns, He possesses, because He is the Malik. He has absolute milkiyah, ownership. Human beings, do we own something? We do. But is there any comparison between our ownership and Allah's ownership? No. Because His ownership is absolute and perfect in every way. And ours, it is partial, it is temporary. Right? So remember, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is no comparison to Him. And at the same time, He possesses certain attributes. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So let's move on. فَلَا يَنْفُونَ. So they do not negate. عَنْهُ, from Him, مَا, that which, وَصَفَ, He has described. بِهِ, with it, نَفْسَهُ, Himself. Meaning, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not negate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything that He has described Himself with. Any description, any sifa that Allah has given of Himself, do we have any right to deny it? Who are we to reject it? Who are we to question it? We are only followers, right? We are creation. We cannot deny any description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given of Himself. So here, we have to check ourselves. That if Allah has described Himself with, you know, possessing a hand or possessing eyes, then what should be our position? What should be our position concerning it? Acceptance. We do not deny it. Okay? Any attribute. And we will keep away from any kind of ta'wil that has no basis in the Qur'an and Sunnah. You see, there are two kinds of ta'wil, two kinds of explanation. One is that which is based on the Qur'an and Sunnah. And the other is that which is based on a person's own imagination, his own whims, his own thinking. The Prophet ﷺ said, he made dua for Ibn Abbas, Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen wa 'allimhu ta'wil. Oh Allah, give him understanding of religion and teach him ta'wil. So when we study any of the attributes of Allah, we don't go on doing the ta'wil ourselves. Okay? Because when we will delve into this, what will happen? Many problems. Tamthil, takyif, ta'til. So in order to avoid that, any kind of error, what do? We just follow. We just follow. So Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what do? Who are they? They are muttabi'un. They're just followers. فَلَا يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ مَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. We don't negate any description of Allah that He has given of Himself. And remember, any description that includes, whether it is صِفَة ذَاتِيَة or صِفَة فِعْلِيَة, okay, any action or anything about His being, we don't deny anything such as that. Now, is it important to believe in all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does it make a difference between believing and not believing? Of course. If you think about it, if a person says, no, Allah's hand, okay, He has mentioned it, but it's not actually a hand. It's just energy, power, force. Think about it. One is a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He possesses a hand. بَلْ يَدَاهُ, He possesses hands. And there's another person who says, no hands. It's just power, force, energy, favor. When you believe in Allah's sifat as they are, then what happens? You believe in Allah as a being, as someone who has an existence, someone who is real. And if you do their incorrect ta'wil, then what happens? The belief about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just going to be like an abstract faith, abstract belief that, okay, God is something abstract, just an energy, a force. It's an incomplete understanding of God, isn't it? So believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat, that helps us have a complete understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rejecting, denying any sifa gives what kind of faith? What kind of belief? Incomplete, unclear, very shaky, too many questions, too many doubts. Now if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's not a mere force, a mere energy. Okay? He has a being. He is a living and seeing God. This is why He has described Himself with a face, with hands, with eyes. So we believe in Him as He is. He is Al-Hayy. He is Al-Qayyum. Now, how are His hands? How are His eyes? They're not like human beings' eyes and hands and face. Right? then who do they resemble? Allah's hands and His face, who do they resemble? No one. What are they like? We don't know. Why? Because He has not told us. And if you want to find out, then you have to see Him. You have to prove yourself worthy of seeing Him. If you want to know how is the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is that magnificent face, then you have to see it. Then you have to do something right now in order to be able to see it. How beautiful is that face? You can only see it in the Akhirah. And so beautiful it is that when the people of Jannah will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will forget all the blessings of Jannah. They'll forget all the blessings of Jannah. So seeing Him is a gift. Seeing Him is a blessing. Seeing Him is a privilege. Seeing Him is the greatest delight. And the Prophet ﷺ, in his salah, he would make dua. اللهم بعلمك الغيب وقدرتك على الخلق أحيني ما علمت الحياة خيرا لي. And the dua continues that وأسألك برد العيش بعد الموت وأسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك. I ask you for the pleasure of being able to see your face. It's لذة النظر. That sight will bring لذة. It will bring joy and happiness and delight that is unlike any other. So we believe in all the attributes, we affirm them, we don't delve into their details, because that is a surprise, that is a reward, that is reserved for where? Al-Akhirah. And in order to receive that reward, do something now. Believe in Him now, and obey Him now. وَلَا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. Wala and nor, yuharrifuna, they distort. Al-kalim, the words, amma wadi'ihi, from their proper places. Who doesn't do this? The Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yuharrifuna, you know it is from? Tahrif, to distort, to change, to alter. And al-kalim is a plural of? Kalima, word. So al-kalim meaning words. The words of who? The kalam of who? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the kalam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they do not change Allah's words, nor do they change the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, they don't change their spellings, they don't change their meaning, rather they keep the words as they are. They keep them in their proper context. They keep them in their proper context and they keep them as they are. They do not alter them. Why would anyone need to alter the words of Allah or the words of the Messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Why would anybody do that? Yes, to suit their own desires, to prove their point. Like for example, I mentioned to you about the man who changed the ayah. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. He changed it. Right? He did tahrif. Why did he do that? To prove that Allah does not speak. So the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they keep away from such behavior. They do not change the words of Allah, nor do they change the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the words of Allah, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبَسُوطَتَانِ. يَدَاهُ, His hands are mentioned. The Ahlus Sunnah say, based on this ayah, that Allah has hands. They do not do any takif, they do not do any tamthil. They say He has hands. We don't say they resemble the hands of so and so, nor do we describe the shape of His hands. The muharrifun, those who do tahrif, what do they say? That no, it's not hands, it's power, it's ni'mah, it's blessing. Ahlu sunnah say, no. Power is something else and hand is something else. Ni'mah is something else and hand is something else. There's a word for ni'mah and there's a word for yad. Correct? There's a word for qudra, for quwwa, and there's a word for yad. They're different. They're not the same. So, the Ahlus Sunnah keep away from tahrif. Why? Because tahrif was the way of who? Of who? The Bani Israel, of the Yahud. And that led to misguidance. So this is why they keep away from this. Imam al-Shafi'i, he said, آمنت بالله وبما جاء عَنِ اللَّهِ عَلَى مُرَادِ اللَّهِ. That I believe in Allah. Okay? أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَبِمَا جَاءَ عَنِ اللَّهِ. and I believe in that which has come from Allah. عَلَى مُرَادِ اللَّهِ, as intended by Allah. I accept it. I don't change anything. I don't deny anything. I don't add anything. I don't alter anything. I accept it as it is. عَلَى مُرَادِ اللَّهِ. And he said, وَآمَنْتُ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ, I believe in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَبِمَا جَاءَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and in that which has come from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَلَى مُرَادِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, as intended by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning without any tahrif, without any ta'atil, we accept it. وَلَا يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ. So before we continue, do you believe in the same thing? Alhamdulillah. وَلَا يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ. وَلَا and not. يُلْحِدُونَ, they engage in ilhad. فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ, concerning the names of Allah. وَآيَاتِهِ, and His ayat. Meaning the Ahlul Sunnah keep away from, they keep away from ilhad. Have you heard of this term? Have you read it in the Quran? Okay. Ilhad literally means what? Mail. Inclination. When something is not mutawassit, it is not in the middle, rather, it goes on the side, to the right or to the left. It's not on the right course, rather it's off to the side, it's deviated. From the same root as lahad, the grave, you know, when you're digging straight and then you go off to the side. Okay, so this is ilhad. Ilhad, deviation, in the names of Allah and His ayat. Some people do this. When they do ilhad in the names of Allah, this is mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 180, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. Leave those people who do ilhad in the names of Allah, who practice deviation concerning His names. Okay. Ilhad in the ayat of Allah. Do people do that also? Yes. In Surah Fussilat, ayah 40, it is mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا, that those people who practice ilhad concerning our ayat, they're not concealed from us. Meaning their crimes are very well known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is, what is ilhad concerning the names of Allah? Ilhad in Allah's names is, first of all, is basically of different kinds. It's done in different ways. People do this in different ways. First of all, by giving Him names that He has not named Himself with. How is this ilhad? Because a person is going off the right course. When he's giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala names that Allah Himself did not inform of, is he on the right track? He's gone off. He's not on the right course anymore. He's deviated. So this is deviation concerning Allah's names. Giving Him names that He has not named Himself with. Like for example, the Christians, they gave Allah a name, Father. What's the evidence? Where in the Quran or Sunnah, or which ayah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a father, or anywhere close to being a father? لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Remember that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are تَوْقِيفِيَّة. توقيفية. What does it mean? What's the root? وقف. What does وقف mean? You stop. Meaning, they are based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. We don't have any right to say anything. We don't make anything. We just stop. Okay? So, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are توقيفية, meaning they are taught by Allah alone. We cannot make them up. So, we cannot give Him a name that He has not given to Himself. Now if you think about it, a human being also, doesn't make sense that he's given a name that he doesn't actually have. What if somebody changed your name and they give you a particular name which is not your name? Your mother did not give you that name. Your father did not give you that name. You know, some people, they get very offended if you change their name even slightly, you know, to show love and affection. They get offended. No, this is not my name. My name is that which my parents gave me. So please don't change my name. Changing name is something else. But giving a name that you don't have, somebody keeps calling you Aisha, whereas your name is Fatima. Like, please stop calling me Aisha. My name is not Aisha. My name is Fatima. So, this is su-adab. It's bad manners. Isn't it? Even when you're dealing with a human being, it's not correct to give someone a name that they don't have, that they have not informed you of. It's unfair. Isn't it? So with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is also unfair. This is also incorrect that a person goes on describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with names, with attributes that he has not given. Okay? And remember that when people will make names for Allah, will make up names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will certainly be unbefitting, meaning they will not be fitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a doctor or an engineer or an architect, this is something not correct. This is ilhad. Second way of ilhad is the opposite of the first. What do you think that would be? What was the first? To make up names. So what's the opposite of that? Complete opposite. To deny. So the opposite of the first, meaning to deny his names either entirely or partially. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named himself with, you know, for example, As-Samir, Al-Basir, we cannot deny that. We cannot deny that. So for example, the Jahamiyyah, they said, Allah has no name. Because if you say that Allah has a name, then you are resembling him to the creation. Because the creation has names. Objects need names in order to be identified. Don't say that Allah has names. But come on, how much of the Quran can you deny? How much of the Quran can be denied in this way? So this is also ilhad, and this a person has to abstain from. The third way of ilhad is to deny the meanings of the sifat. So for example, a person affirms that, okay, Allah is As-Samir, but he denies the meaning of that name. What meaning does the name As-Samir give? That Allah hears. So they said, he is As-Samir bila Samr. He is Alim bila Ilm. He is Khaliq bila Khalq. This is ilhad. Does it even make sense? If a person says, yeah, this person is a teacher, but they don't teach. They're a doctor, but they're not a doctor. No, don't call them a doctor then. You can't do that. Right? So, this is also ilhad. The Mu'tazila, they held such beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has names, but those names don't have meanings. And some of them, they went to such an extent that they said that all the names, they're actually the same. It's just that they have different huruf. Okay? So, Samir, Basir, Allah, Al-Khaliq, they're all the same thing, they're just labels. They don't actually mean anything. It's just different huruf because it sounds nice. Or because it fits better. Is it logical? It's completely illogical. If a person believes in a God like that, that has names, but those names are meaningless, then what kind of dua can he make? Think about it. When you're talking to someone, you want to be sure that they can hear you. Right? When you're asking someone, you want to make sure they're able to help you. They're able to respond to you. They know your situation. They understand you. And if you know that there is a person who cannot hear, who cannot see, who cannot understand, would you bother to even speak to them? No. This is just like the idols. Right? That a person knows that the idol cannot hear, the idol cannot see, the idol cannot understand. So this is also ilhad. This is incorrect. The fourth kind of ilhad is tamthil, to affirm Allah's names and attributes, but liken them to the creation. To consider them as human attributes. So to say things like, yes, he sees, and he sees exactly as we do. He hears, and he hears exactly as we do. And this is where people have a problem with affirming some of the names and attributes of Allah. So for example, Allah, we learn from hadith, there are 15 ahadith that tell us that Allah descends to the lowest heaven in the last part of the night. They say, but the night is constantly changing. I mean, if you think about it, there's always night somewhere or the other, right, in the world, because it's constantly moving. So they say, how is it possible? You know why you have a difficulty believing in that? Because you're doing tamthil. You think that Allah descends like a human being. No, don't think of Him as a creation. Don't liken his attributes, his actions, to those of the creation. He sees, but he doesn't see like us. He descends, but he doesn't descend like us. Correct? Okay. Fifth, giving his names to other than him. This is also a kind of ilhad. Giving his names to other than him, either in their original form or altering them slightly. So for example, the mushrikeen, they named their idols after the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Al-Uzza, from the name of Allah, Al-Aziz. Then Al-Lat, from the name of Allah, Al-Ilah. Likewise, Al-Manat, from the name of Allah, Al-Mannan. Right? So this is also ilhad. Because this is not correct. The names of Allah are unique to Him. Only He deserves those names and attributes. And if they are being given to a creation, to a makhluq, in any way, shape or form, then what is that? That's deviation concerning Allah's name. So, what do we understand from this? That فَلَا يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ مَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمْ مَوَاضِعِهِ وَلَا يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ. What do we understand? That the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not make up things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't go beyond their proper limit. Okay? Nor do they fall short. You understand? Because there's two kinds of extremes, right? That you go beyond the limit or you keep away. This is an extreme. So the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they stay on the right course. They don't fall short, nor do they exceed the proper limits. They don't speak without knowledge. Now over here, ilhad fi asma'illah is mentioned, and also wa ayatihi, ilhad in the ayat of Allah. Now remember that the ayat of Allah, they are of two kinds. Ayat kawniya and ayat shar'iyya. Ayat kawniya, what are they? Kawniya is what? Kawn, existence, the creation that prove the power of Allah, His existence, His perfect attributes. So for example, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرِ. From amongst his signs are the night and the day, the sun and the moon. Likewise, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The creation of the skies and the earth. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And the differences in your languages and your colors. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ. He shows you lightning. So all of these are what? Kawni. They're all ayat of Allah. They're all proofs of Allah's existence, His power, His exalted attributes. Because the creation is not able to do anything that is mentioned here. Okay? Like for example, which human being has the control over the sun or the moon? Which machine can we make that can stop the coming of the night? Which force can we make that can stop the rotation of the earth? Can we do that? No, we cannot. We don't have that strength. Which force do we have because of which we can drive away the clouds or bring the clouds? We don't have that. So, what do these magnificent creations show? The power of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, ilhad in these ayat, what does it mean? To ascribe them to other than Allah. To say that the sun, the moon, you know, what's happening in my life, it's because of other than Allah. And remember that this is done in three ways. First of all, in the independent sense. Okay? In the independent sense. What does that mean? That a person says that it rained because of such and such star. Not because of Allah's decision, but because of such and such force that is independent. So for example, people believe in two gods, a god of good and a god of evil. So this happened because the god of evil decided this independently and the god of good had no say. You understand? These kind of beliefs, are they not prevalent? They are. The second is through partnership, musharaka, that along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this one also decided this fate. This one also granted this gift. This one also sent this our way. Like the mushrikeen used to associate partners with Allah. Shirk basically. And the third is i'anah, assistance. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this with the help of such and such. That Allah sends the sun, the moon, the night, the day with the help of such and such force. Now if you think about it, the first one, istiqlal, you know, in the independent sense, by for example, people who reject the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aren't there many people who hold such beliefs? That all of this came into existence because of what? Because of a big bang. It was an accident. Those who reject creation, what do? These are the kinds of things that they say. That this was all a big accident. This was all, you know, an explosion. And this is how it started. There's no God. God, okay, even if He's there, He's got nothing to do with this universe. So this is ilhad in the ayat of Allah. Okay? Second type of ayat are shar'iyya. Those ayat which the prophets brought, like revelation, like the Qur'an. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ نَتْلُوهَا. We recite it, we read it to you. So ayat of Allah, meaning, for example, the Qur'an. So ilhad in the ayat of Allah means takdib, denial, that no, this is not from Allah. Qur'an is not from Allah. Completely or partially? Partially, like for example, in the Qur'an, it is mentioned, Yadullah, the hands of Allah. It is mentioned, A'yun, the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person says, no. This cannot be part of the Qur'an. This is something that people added later. Or there must have been misunderstanding. This is what? Ilhad, how can you reject something which is written in the Qur'an? Which was recited by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the second way of ilhad in ayat shar'iyya is through tahrif, changing the words and meanings. And the third is mukhalafa, opposing them. So any kind of ilhad in the ayat of Allah, that is also not allowed. Why? Because when a person delves into this, then he will end up holding an incorrect belief about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, why is it that people cannot believe in a creator God? Why? Do you know why? If you see any, you know, documentary, any video, any interview, why is it that people struggle with believing in God? Because for them, this creation is far too amazing. Far too powerful. Far too fascinating. And so they say that there is no being who can actually make all of this. Why? Why do they think like this? Because they have not recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they think about God, they think of Him in human terms. When they think about God, they think of Him as a deficient God. As a God who has weaknesses. So the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when they keep away from tahrif, when they keep away from ilhad, then what happens? Believing in a creator God is very easy. Then the picture is complete, right? Then the puzzle is complete. وَلَا يُكَيِّفُونَ Nor do they engage in takyif. Meaning, they do not describe the kayfiyah. The kayfiyah of what? His sifat. They do not deny any sifat, and they do not go on explaining them. وَلَا يُمَثِّلُونَ Nor do they engage in tamthil, likening his attributes to the creation. Sifatihi, his attributes, bisifati khalqihi, with the attributes of his creation. Meaning, for example, Allah has a face. The question, how, what kind of a face is it? They don't go on resembling his face to the face of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created. How? Don't resemble, don't liken that to the way that people create. To the way that people make things. So, وَلَا يُكَيِّفُونَ وَلَا يُمَثِّلُونَ صِفَاتِي بِصِفَاتِي خَلْقِهِ Now, takyif, what is that? To explain the howness of something. How it is. To mention the kayfiyah of something. Now, how is it that you mention, that you describe the kayfiyah of something? Either through your words, whether you say them or you write them, or in your mind, in your head. Like for example, someone says, I went to a mall. It was huge. Okay, so instantly, when you hear the word mall and you hear huge, in your head, what do you start doing? Imagining. You begin to make an image, a picture of that mall. Okay, it has huge parking lots outside. You know, from far you can see it. It's probably multi-story. And it's got many, many entrances. And the entrances also are huge. You know, as a person is mentioning even huge mall, you start visualizing it in your head. Okay? Or you just assume certain things and you say, yeah, it must have a huge parking lot. Why do you do this? Why do you start imagining this? And why is it that you start describing it with your own words? Why? Because you have seen a mall. Okay. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has seen him? No one. So when you learn about the face of Allah, what is it that we're supposed to do? Waqf. Stop right there. Don't start imagining it. And don't start talking about it. That this is how the eyes are. And if it's a face, then it must also have this and it must also have that. No. Waqf. Just stop right there. So the Ahlu Sunnah, they do not further describe the sifat of Allah. Ever. Ever. They do not say things such as, Allah's hand is like this and this. They do not describe with their mouths, nor do they picture in their minds, in their brains. Because this takyif, what does it lead to? Tamthil. Because you can only explain something, you know, if you've seen it. Right? And if you haven't seen it, then you resemble it with something that you've seen before. So for example, for you, a mall would be, typically, the picture of a mall that comes to your mind is the mall that you usually go to. So this will lead to tamthil. So this is why the Ahlu Sunnah keep away from takyif. Or the other extreme would be, it would lead to ta'til. How would it lead to ta'til? That a person says, okay, Allah's face, it must be like this and this. No. We're not supposed to do that. But then Allah has a face? But then you're resembling Him with the creation? No, don't say He has a face. It means His pleasure, His approval. You understand? This is what? Ta'til. Negating that Allah has a face. Abandoning the meaning of face. So this is why the Ahlu Sunnah keep away from takyif. وَلَا يُمَثِّلُونَ صِفَاتِهِ بِصِفَاتِ خَلْقِهِ. They refrain from tamthil also. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not assert similarities to Allah. Don't say Allah is like this and like this and like this. Or that He resembles such and such and such. Don't say that. Because Allah knows and you do not know. So when you do not know about something, then do not speak without knowledge. And if you think about it, if everything was informed to us, all the details, every description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what would be the pleasure of the hereafter? What would be the reward of the hereafter? And if you think about it, our minds, they can only comprehend something up to a certain limit. Right? Because our minds are limited. Our brain is limited. So a small mind, a small brain, it cannot embrace, it cannot understand, it cannot appreciate the perfection and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Azim. A small mind cannot do that. So this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not informed us. It's a reward for the akhirah. And if He had informed us, we would not appreciate Him. Given that we cannot fully comprehend, we cannot fully understand. You know, it's like a phone that has amazing features. Okay? If you give it to a 12-year-old, this is your gift. And he can hardly use 20% of it. Can he really appreciate that phone? Why? Because he doesn't know how to use it. He doesn't know what all it can do. So is it justice to that phone? That it's being given in the hands of a 12-year-old who will drop it and who will abuse it. And it will probably have a scratched screen and a broken side. Is that fair? No. So we are also in this world, what are we? Very, very limited. Very, very small. We cannot fully understand the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why what He has told us, we just take it as it is. We don't leave it and we don't add to it. We don't leave it and we do not add to it. And how can we? لِأَنَّهُ Because indeed He, سُبْحَانَهُ Exalted He is, لَا سَمِيَّ لَهُ He has no سَمِي وَلَا كُفْءَ لَهُ And He has no كُفْء وَلَا نِدَّ لَهُ And He has no نِدْ So how can you compare Him? And how can you describe Him? سَمِي Who is سَمِي? Someone who has the same name. Someone who has the same name. So for example, phone, phone. There's two objects, both of them are called phones. Will there be any similarity? Yes. Can you compare the two? Yes. Can you understand one by knowing the other? Yes. Even though they're very different? Yeah, but still you could. Okay. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has no sami', meaning no one possesses the names of Allah. No one deserves the attributes of Allah. رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا Do you know for Him any سَمِي? What's the answer? No. There is no one who has the same name as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا سَمِيَّ لَهُ وَلَا كُفْءَ لَهُ كُفْء Who is كُفْء? Co-equal. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَد Co-equal. Kuf is basically one that suffices for the other. One that suffices for the other. So for example, you're trying to explain to someone what snow is like. They've never seen snow. They've never felt snow. Okay? So what is it that you can do? You can get some ice and tell them, you know, just imagine crushed ice. Really, really fine, finely crushed. You understand? This is what? Kuf. Ice will suffice for the snow. Okay. But remember that none can suffice for the other except for its like. You understand? There is some resemblance between ice and snow, which is why one can make up for the other. Correct? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la kuf'a lah. La Kuf Allah. There is none who is equal to Him, co-equal to Him, similar to Him in any way. So who will you strike as an example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You cannot. Who is it that you can resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with? What is it that you can describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with? There is none who is like Him. وَلَا نِدَّ لَهُ Nid. Who is Nid? Peer. An equal. A rival. A partner. So there is none who is like Him. None who is similar to Him. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ Now, سَمِي, كُفْ, نِدْ, they're all synonymous. They're all similar in their meaning. They're very close in their meaning. But basically, it's being emphasized that there is no one who is like Him. So how can you compare Him to anyone? How can you describe Him? Now, the things of this world, the creation, there is always something or the other that resembles it. Even people. Right? Aren't there people who are not related at all, but still they are similar in their features? Perhaps in their manner of talking? In their manner of walking? So if you're trying to explain, you know, a certain individual, you can bring an example from here, an example from there, a comparison from here, a comparison from there. And then a person have a somewhat image. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can you liken Him with? Who can you resemble Him with? La سَمِيَّ لَهُ There is no one who even possesses that name. Who else can be called ilah? Is there anyone? Is there anything? No. Who else can be called ar-Rahman? Is there anyone? Anything? No. وَلَا كُفْءَ لَهُ وَلَا نِدَّ لَهُ وَلَا يُقَاسُ بِخَلْقِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَلَا and not. يُقَاسُ He can be compared بِخَلْقِهِ with His creation. سُبْحَانَهُ Exalted is He. Glorified is He. Perfect is He. وَتَعَالَى And He is high above, meaning He is exalted. يُقَاسُ What word comes to your mind when you hear this? قِيَاس Okay, what is قِيَاس? To compare something? With another, in order to understand it. in fiqh, the term qiyas is used, usul al-fiqh, that sometimes there are certain matters which are completely new and you don't find their mention in the Quran and Sunnah. And you want to figure out if they are halal or they are haram. So for example, certain drugs. Okay? Do you find their mention in the Quran and Sunnah? You find the mention of alcohol. Okay? That's the closest thing. But cocaine or anything like that, is that mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah? No. And every now and then there are new things that people are using as drugs. So you want to know, is smoking crack cocaine halal or not? So then you say, okay, cocaine is not mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, but there is something like it that you can compare with. And what is that? Alcohol. Why is that you can compare the two? Because both are consumed and both affect the intellect. Right? They both, you know, have an intoxicating effect on a person. So even though they're different, and even though cocaine is not mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, but because of the fact that they're similar, you can compare them. And when you compare them, then what do? The ruling which is of alcohol, you apply to the ruling of drugs also. That if alcohol, because it intoxicates, because it covers the mind, it is haram. So likewise, smoking cocaine, for instance, or any other thing like that, because it will intoxicate a person, it will have such and such effect, which is similar to the effect of alcohol. This is why it will also be considered haram. Clear? Okay. Now, when is it that you can compare cocaine with alcohol? Why? On what basis? Some similarity. This is qiyas. That you put one on the other, you measure the two, you say, okay, very similar. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His attributes, in order to understand them, can we compare His attributes to the attributes of the creation? No. We cannot do that. Why? Why? Because look at the previous statement, لِأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا سَمِيَّ لَهُ وَلَا كُفْأَ لَهُ وَلَا نِدَّ لَهُ. And when that is the case, who can you compare Him with? Nothing. No one. No one at all. Now, there are different types of qiyas when it comes to comparing the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are different types of qiyas. I'm not going to go into the details of that, but just an overview, that one is compare the attributes of Allah with the attributes of the creation in the general sense. That you compare the word, okay, or the meaning. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Al-Hayy, the creation. Do they also have hayat? Do they also have hayat? Yes. يُحْيِيكُمْ, He gave you life, so you have hayat. Now, a person says, Allah has hayat, and people have hayat. Can you compare the hayat of Allah with the hayat of the creation? Never. You cannot do that. Neither in word nor in meaning. In word as in when you use hayat, you imply the same thing. No, you cannot do that. Alright. And there's another kind of qiyas, which is permissible. Okay? And what is that? That you compare in the fatr, meaning not in the asl, not in the original sense, okay, but just in one aspect. One aspect. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. For Allah is the highest and the best description. The Prophet ﷺ, he wanted to teach people about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did he do? He saw a woman whose child had been taken away. So what happened? She would see any baby and start nursing. Correct? And the Prophet ﷺ asked the people, that do you think she would throw her baby or, you know, something like that? By that example, what was he doing? Explaining to them the mercy of Allah, that Allah is more merciful to His creation than this mother would be to her child. Now if you think about it technically, mercy of a mother, mercy of Allah, a comparison is being made, but not in an absolute sense, not in a general sense, just in one aspect. Likewise, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself gives us the example of His oneness and His uniqueness. In Surah An-Nahl, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَبْكَمْ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ كَلٌّ عَلَى مَوْلَاهُ. Allah gives an example of two men. One of them is mute, unable to speak, and he's not capable of doing anything, and he's a burden on his owner. This is the example of what? An idol. أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ. Wherever the owner puts, the mawla, the guardian, you know, puts this person, he doesn't bring anything. And likewise, this idol, wherever you put it, doesn't produce anything. And on the other hand, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي هُوَ وَمَنْ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Can he be equal to the one who commands justice? Who is the one who commands justice? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Himself is presenting an example of Himself over here so that we can understand an aspect of His sifa, of oneness. And this is why, you know, when we hear examples that are being given all the time, like in this class also I gave you so many examples, elsewhere also you hear so many examples, remember that they're not examples in the absolute sense, that in every single way you are comparing the attribute of Allah to the attribute of His creation. Always remember that Allah's attributes are the attributes of perfection. They're nowhere near His creation. But because we are human beings, we need method, we need example to understand concept. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has given examples in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave examples. Clear? Okay. So remember that whenever an example is given or a description is given, don't begin to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or begin to imagine Him as though He were a creation, a person, a human being. No. وَلَا يُقَاسُ بِخَلْقِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He is not to be compared to His creation. Remember that the matters of the akhirah, okay, even they cannot be compared with the matters of the dunya. Okay. Like for example, in dunya, are there anhar, rivers? Yes. Are there anhar in Jannah? Yes. But can you understand the anhar of Jannah as the anhar of dunya? No. If you start comparing the two, it will be very difficult. Because the rivers of this world, what are they like? People walk in them, there's fish in them, sometimes they're also polluted, there's mud. Now the rivers in Jannah, they're of milk, of honey. So instantly, if you start to delve into it, if you start to compare them to the rivers of dunya, you will say, but won't they be muddy then? How can you drink from it? Isn't that a waste of food? Huh? These questions will come in your mind. So what's the answer? You do not compare the matters of dunya to the matters of the akhirah. There's no comparison. Akhirah is a different world, isn't it? So why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the same words? Because we need some description. Otherwise, what would we know Jannah is? If Allah did not use the word anhar, how could we understand? What would we understand about Jannah? So we are in need of some description, and this is why words have been used which we are familiar with, but those words should not be understood in the same way as we understand the things of this world. Okay? That the river of Jannah is like the river of dunya. No, it's not like that. On the day of judgment, the sun will be brought very close to people. How close? The distance of 1 mile. Okay? Now, if a person begins to compare this with the matters of dunya, he will say, oh, if the sun even draws a centimeter close to the earth, the whole earth would burn. So then that means the creation will all burn. No, you don't compare the matters of dunya to the matters of akhirah. It's a different world completely. So when this is the case with the akhirah, how can you compare the creation with the creator? You cannot. Yes, the words are the same. He is al-hayy and you have hayat. He is as-samir and you also hear. But you cannot say they're the same. You cannot say they're the same. They're different. Clear? وَلَا يُقَاسُ بِخَلْقِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَإِنَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِنَفْسِهِ وَبِغَيْرِهِ. Because indeed He is أَعْلَمُ, most knowing, بِنَفْسِهِ, about Himself, وَبِغَيْرِهِ, and also other than Him. He is the one who knows best about who? About himself and also about others. Others as in? Others besides him. Meaning his creation. وَأَصْدَقُ قِيلًا وَأَصْدَقُ And he is most truthful. قِيلًا in speech, in words. وَأَحْسَنُ And best. حَدِيثًا in narrative. مِنْ خَلْقِهِ Than his creation. Meaning his speech is most truthful. More truthful than the speech of his creation. And the way he narrates, the way he explains things, they are better than the way people narrate and describe things. You understand? Okay. Now over here, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he's giving the reasons as to why we should believe in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of about Himself. That why is it that we stop there? Why isn't it that we fall short from it? Or why isn't it that we exceed it? Why is it that we take the words of Allah as they are? Why don't we explain them? Why don't we deny them? Why don't we elaborate them? Why do we take them as they are? Why? Because the information that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, it is worth accepting. When some information, it includes certain qualities, then you have to accept it. What qualities? First of all, when it's based on knowledge. When it's based on knowledge. If it's based on knowledge, then you can't deny. Like for example, you are reading something and you find something very surprising that's written, and then there's a footnote at the bottom and it says, this was proven in a study that was conducted by such and such person in these years in this place. You're like, okay, sounds strange, but it's backed by ilm. You understand? So you accept it. You find a statement in a book and it says, this is a hadith that is authenticated by Shaykh Albani. What do you say? Okay, I accept it. Because it's based on ilm. Okay. Another characteristic is truthfulness when it's based on sidq, when it is true. It's free from falsehood. Again, you will accept it. Thirdly, when it's clear and eloquent. When it's clear and eloquent, again, you will accept it. Now, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about Himself, what is that based on? Ilm, al-sidq, and clarity. And that's exactly what Ibn Taymiyyah is mentioning here. فَإِنَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِنَفْسِهِ وَبِغَيْرِهِ He speaks with knowledge. وَأَصْدَقُ قِيلًا He speaks the truth. وَأَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا And he speaks in the best way, in the most clear, in the most eloquent way. So, why would the Ahlul Sunnah believe in anything else then? Why would they not believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said? Are His words not enough? Are His words not enough? Tell me. They are. What He has informed us about Himself, is that not true? Of course it's true. Who could tell us better about Himself than Him? No one. Is His speech not the best? Is it not the most eloquent? Is it not the most precise? It is. So, do we need the explanation of the philosophers? No. Is the Qur'an not sufficient then? Of course it is sufficient. Because He is أَعْلَمُ بِنَفْسِهِ وَبِغَيْرِهِ He knows you. He knows Himself better than anyone. He knows Himself and He knows you. And He's أَعْلَم. He knows you better than you know yourself. So then who would know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than Allah? Who would know Him better than Him? No one. Right? وَرَبُّكَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ He is most knowing of everything that is in the heavens and the earth. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ He knows who is astray. So when He knows about everything, He knows about Himself, if He is telling us His description, then we accept it. آمَنَّا وَصَدَّقْنَا And then he is أَصْدَقُ قِيلًا, most truthful in speech. No one is more truthful than him. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. What's the answer? No one. His speech is the most true. And then he is أَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا. His speech is أَحْسَن. أَحْسَن, best. Meaning best in clarity, in eloquence. No one could describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than Allah Himself. Think about it. The way people, their feelings are described in the Quran. Can anyone describe them in a better way? You know, for example, Musa alayhi salam, his mother, how she's mentioned, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. You couldn't describe it in better terms. Correct? So when even a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him in the best way, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. How true is that statement? Huh? So then, of course, when he is describing himself, whose description would be better? His own. No one else's but his. So, أَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا. And remember that there is another quality which, if you know some information, if it has that quality, then you have to accept it. And what is that? Correct objective. A good intent. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions anything in the Qur'an, whether it is about Himself or us, you know, the Day of Judgment, our deeds, anything, what's the intention? What's the purpose? Our guidance. Right? Increase of our iman. يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ أَن تَضِلُّ. There is a good reason behind mentioning everything. So when Allah has mentioned His sifat, His attributes, His actions, His qualities, then there is always a good reason behind it. So do we have any justification for denying it? Can we deny it? No, we cannot. So, فَإِنَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِنَفْسِهِ وَبِغَيْرِهِ وَأَصْدَقُ قِيلًا وَأَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. Nothing is like the kalam of Allah. Nothing. And this is why for us, the kalam of Allah is sufficient. So when Allah has described Himself in a certain way, we accept it. It is the most correct. It is the best description. We don't need any more description. You understand? No person needs to go into takyif, into tamthil. You don't need that. Because if Allah has described Himself with the hand and with the face, that is enough for us. We don't need the philosophy of any philosopher. We don't need the study of any researcher. We don't need the discovery of any discoverer. No. Because the Qur'an, the kalam of Allah, is sufficient. It is complete with knowledge, based on truth, Allah's speech, the most eloquent and the most beautiful. And remember that if the people and jinn, they gather together to produce anything like the Qur'an, would they be able to? No. So if all the people gather together to produce one statement describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, could they do it? Could they do justice? No. So this is why a sifa from the Qur'an, it is enough for us. We don't need to look here and there. Obviously Qur'an and Sunnah. And remember that, you know, when deviations happen, so for example, the hand is understood as blessing, force, energy, strength. Okay. Remember that Allah, He is أَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا. If He wished to say ni'mah, He would have used a word that is closer to the word ni'mah. Is the word ni'mah not used in the Qur'an? Are there not so many words used in the Qur'an for blessing? Of course. So if the word hand is being used for blessing, would you call that beautiful speech or ambiguous? A book of riddles. It would be a book of riddles. Right? That you always have to think and think and think and then come to a conclusion. But the fact is the Qur'an is clear. Mubeen. Isn't it mubeen? It is mubeen. So this is why we don't need to say things like yad means ni'mah. No, yad means yad. It means yad. You don't need to interpret it as anything else. Okay. So this is why we accept what is from the Qur'an. What about the sunnah? Why is it that we accept that? Why is it that we stop there? ثُمَّ, then, meaning moreover, رُسُلُهُ, His messengers. Whose messengers? Allah's messengers. They are صَادِقُونَ. They are truthful. and they are musaddaqoon or masduqoon. Both the words are found. Both of these versions are found in the different texts of this book. Then his messengers, they are sadiqoon and masduqoon or musaddaqoon. Meaning, why should we not believe in what the Prophet ﷺ has described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with? Why should we leave it? Why should we leave that description? Why should we change it? Why should we abandon it? Why should we add to it? There's no need. Why is there no need? Because the Prophets of Allah, they were all sadiqoon, truthful. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was truthful. Truthful in what? In all that he said. In all that he informed us of about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophets of Allah, they were ma'asum min al-kadhib, right? They were free from lying. So, this is the reason why if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah descends, then we believe. Why? Because he was sadiq. He did not lie. You understand? If there's any other human being and they tell you something, can you doubt their truthfulness? Of course you can. Because after all, who are they? An ordinary human being, and they will lie, but the Prophets of Allah, Allah protected them from lying. They were sadiq. And they were also musaddaqoon or masduq. If we take the word as masduq, masduq means the one to whom truth was spoken to. Meaning truth was spoken to him. He was given the truth. He was not lied to. So the Prophets of Allah, were they lied to? No. Whatever they were given by Allah, what was that? Truth? Did it have any doubt in it? No. So the Prophets, what did they convey? Revelation. And what was that revelation? Sidq. It was the truth. So whatever they received, whatever they conveyed, it was the truth. It was nothing but truth. This is why we don't have a problem accepting it. If we take this as musaddaqoon, who is musaddaq? One who is confirmed, whose truthfulness is confirmed. Meaning the messengers of Allah, they were all believed in, and their truthfulness was confirmed by who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the followers of the prophets. And not just the followers of the prophets, even their enemies. Don't they testify to the truthfulness of the prophet? Of course they do. During their life, it happened, and even after that. Their enemies affirm their truthfulness. They appreciate, they acknowledge their truthfulness. So, when they're musaddaqoon, then what does it mean? We also have to affirm their truthfulness. So if a person says, oh, the Prophet ﷺ said Allah descends to the lowest heaven every night. Yes, the Prophets are musaddaqoon, we have to confirm them. And if we doubt this statement, or if we abandon it, if we change it, we add to it, then are we affirming the truthfulness of the Prophet? No. Then we're not doing that. So, ثُمَّ رُسُلُهُ صَادِقُونَ مُصَدَّقُونَ. Deviations concerning the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when did they begin? They began when people started following the words of who? Philosophers. People who were like them. Because you see, people of different religions, they hold different beliefs about God. Okay? And then there are also people who deny religion. And this is not something new. This happened many, many years ago also, many centuries ago also. And they denied religion and they believed more in, you know, observing something yourself and then affirming its, you know, existence or truthfulness. And based on that, they rejected religion. And they started using their own logic and they used their own thinking. And these people were known as who? Philosophers. Now, when their writings were translated into Arabic, when Muslims came across their writings, what happened? They were influenced by them. Many Muslims were. And they wanted to, you know, in their good intention, what did they want to do? They wanted to prove that the philosophers were right, or that the philosophers, their teachings, you know, they conformed with the Quran and Sunnah. You understand? So, they didn't want to reject what the philosophers were saying, because that was the in thing. So they said, okay, let's change this in the Quran and let's change that in the Quran. This doesn't mean this, it actually means that. You know, like people do today also. They don't want to change themselves. So what do they change? What do they change? The Quran. They change the Sunnah. The ayat which are clear in their words. But just because people will not be happy if they hear this is in the Quran, what will they do? They will change the meaning of it. Like for example, in the Quran, it's clearly mentioned. وَضْرِبُوهُنْ. Or is it not mentioned? It is. But if, when people find out, oh, in the Quran it says beat women? What kind of Quran is that? No. It doesn't mean beat. It doesn't mean hit. It means something else. This is what? An apologetic approach to the Quran and Sunnah. Now, this is done with fiqh, and this is also done with aqidah. And this is where deviations happen. When you want to please others, and when you want to show Islam is good. Okay? So, this happened at the time of Ibn Taymiyyah, before him, and it happens today also. But for us, what is the criteria? What the Quran has said, and what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. On the one hand is a person who is speaking, and he is quoting the Quran and Sunnah. قَالَ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ. And on the other hand is a person who is speaking, and he is quoting what as evidence? Such and such philosopher, and such study, and such person. What is it that we're going to accept? What is it that is haqq for us that we're going to follow? قَالَ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ. So remember, whenever you hear anything that is being said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the Qur'an, anything about the Qur'an and Sunnah, always check, what's the evidence? What is being used as evidence? Is it the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or is it the statement of some other person? Is it a statement from the Quran, or is it something else? What is it that is being used as evidence? On the one hand are the prophets of Allah, صادقون مصدوقون, and on the other hand are who? بخلاف الذين يقولون عليه ما لا يعلمون. They are those who speak without knowledge. What does it mean by bikhilafi? Bikhilafi? In contrast to. The prophets of Allah, they were truthful, their truthfulness confirmed. And in contrast to the prophets, on the other end of the spectrum, there are الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ عَلَيْهِ. There are those who say about him, about who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا لَا. That which not يَعْلَمُونَ they know. Meaning that which they don't know. They speak without knowledge. One is a description of Allah that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving. And one is a description of Allah that somebody else is giving. Whose statement is going to be taken? Whose statement is going to be taken? The statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the prophets were صادقون مصدوقون, and those who were opposed to them, who are they? Dalun or kathibun? They're either lying or they're dalun, they're astray. Now, there are over 70 ahadith that speak about the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which the believers will see Allah. 70 ahadith that mention this. Seeing the face of Allah, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet there are people who deny it. There are people who will deny that. Now, should we listen to these people or should we listen to the words of the Prophet ﷺ? What should we listen to? The words of the Prophet ﷺ. There are 15 ahadith that mention that Allah descends to the lowest heaven, last part of the night. But there are people who say, how is that possible? Because logically, physically, it doesn't make sense to them. So, who is it that we will confirm here? The Prophets of Allah. And if you think about it, does it make a difference to your iman? Believing in what the Prophet said as opposed to believing in what the philosophers say, is there a difference? Of course. When you believe that Allah descends to the lowest heaven every night, then what happens? Gives you motivation to get up and worship Him. If not that, at least beg Allah for forgiveness in bed even. Make dua over there. Right? Just cry in bed even. Right? But if a person does not have this belief that Allah descends to the lowest heaven, Then he will say, yeah, Allah is there. How, where, I don't know. What is He, I don't know. An abstract belief. So it makes a huge difference to the iman. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ And this is why he said. Who said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ Glorified is your Lord. Who is He? رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ The Lord of might and honor. عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ Above that which they describe. Meaning, the descriptions that the people give about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make them up. يَقُولُونَ عَلَيْهِ مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah is Subhan. He is above them. He is free from those weaknesses. وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ And may peace be on the messengers. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ And all praise to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. فَسَبَّحَ نَفْسَهُ So over here, سَبَّحَ نَفْسَهُ He glorified himself. عَمَّا Above that which وَصَفَهُ He described him. Bihi with it. Meaning the descriptions that they gave. Who gave? الْمُخَالِفُونَ لِلْرُسُلِ The opponents of the messengers. The opponents of the messengers. What kind of descriptions is it that they gave about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That He has a partner, or He has a child, or He has a wife, or He has daughters. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ And then later on people said, you know, His size is like this, and His width is like this, and His length is like this, and His face is like this, or it is not like this. These descriptions that they gave, opponents of the messengers, who are the opponents of the messengers? Who? Those who say that which contradicted the message of the prophets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here in this ayah, سَبَّحَ نَفْسَهُ He glorified Himself above all these false descriptions. How? That He's not like that. These descriptions do not befit Him. وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ And in these verses, he also sallama. He sent his peace on who? Ala al-mursaleen, on the messengers. Why? Li salamati, due to the safety, meaning correctness. You know, salama is when something is free of fault, right? So, due to the correctness of what? Ma qaluhu, that which they said. Who said? The Prophet said. And what the Prophet said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it had salama, it was safe. Meaning it was free from what? Min al-naqsi? From naqs wal-aib and aib. What is naqs? Shortcoming, deficiency. And what is aib? Flaw or fault. So the prophets of Allah, the descriptions they gave about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were free from any deficiency and any fault. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His peace on His prophets. Meaning He approved of what the prophet said. You understand? So, in other words, what the people made up about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah negated that. And what the prophet said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah affirmed that. So then what do we learn from this? For us, which description of Allah is sufficient? That which we find from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. And the third description which we find that is coming from the imagination or the thinking or the logic or the words of people, what about that? Do we accept it? No, we don't accept it. Clear? فَسَبَّحَ نَفْسَهُ عَمَّا وَصَفَهُ بِهِ الْمُخَالِفُونَ لِلْرُسُلِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ لِسَلَامَةِ مَنْ قَالُهُ مِنَ النَّقْصِ وَالْعَيْبِ So, in other words, we have to follow what the messengers taught. And anything else, no matter who says it, no matter who says it, when it contradicts the words of the messengers, then it carries no weight for us. وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ And He the Exalted, قَدْ جَمَعَ In fact, He has jama'a. What does jama'a mean? Gathered. He has joined together. فِيمَا In that which وَصَفَ He described وَسَمَّى And He named بِهِ With it نَفْسَهُ Himself. Two things. The sifa that Allah has given of Himself and the name that Allah has given of Himself. Give me an example of a sifa. Okay, some or yad. Okay, remember? Some are ma'nawiyya and others are ذاتيه and فعليه. Okay. سمى به نفسه, a name that Allah has given, السمير. Okay. So in all of these names and attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has jama'a, meaning He has joined together, He has presented both. بين النفي والإثبات. بين, between النفي. What does نفي mean? Negation. والإثبات. What does إثبات mean? Affirmation. Meaning the names and attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, okay, of Himself, they are both. Some of them, they negate certain attributes from Him, and others, they affirm certain attributes. So, what does this mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very specific attributes that we cannot speak about without any knowledge. We cannot make them up. Because when you say about something, it is like this and not like that. You mean something very specific, don't you? Like for example, if you're told a white hijab, not beige, not off-white, what does it mean? What does it mean? Only white. It's a specific shade of white. Not just anything that looks like white. Clear? So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed certain attributes and negated certain attributes, then what does it mean? He has very specific attributes and we cannot use our own mind and imagination. We cannot make them up. We have to take what has come from the Qur'an and we have to take what has come from the Sunnah. And when this is the case, that He has joined both Nafi and Isbat, negation and affirmation, then what does it mean? He possesses the attributes of perfection. Because the completeness of perfection can only be achieved through affirmation and negation. Affirmation of what? Attributes of perfection. And negation of what? Attributes of imperfection. Like for example, if someone says, I love you. If a husband says to his wife, I love you. Or a wife says to her husband, I love you. This is what? Affirmation. But it can also mean that they love somebody else. You understand? It can also mean that they love somebody else. But if they say, I love you, I don't love anyone else but you. This is what? Negation and affirmation. Affirmation isn't what? I love you. Negation isn't what? I don't love anyone but you. I don't love anyone the way I love you. So this is completion of perfection. Perfection of what? Of love. If a person says, I'm tired, you're affirming tiredness for yourself. And you say, I have no energy. I'm tired, I have no energy. You're negating. Negating any energy from yourself. So what does it mean? Completion of perfection of the attribute of tiredness. Likewise, a person says, I'm fine. I'm not upset at all. So when is it that you keep on saying things like that? You affirm and you negate. You affirm and you negate. When you want to show that this attribute is perfect. Okay? Whether it is the attribute of tiredness or sleepiness. You say, I'm very sleepy. I cannot keep my eyes open. I'm very sleepy. I cannot keep my eyes open. Affirmation and negation, which means completion of sleepiness. Correct? Okay. So, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, we learn His names and attributes in this way. Affirmation of what? Perfection. And negation of any imperfection. So, for example, وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Okay. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ. He is Al-Qayyum. He is Al-Hayy. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. He is so Qayyum, so Al-Hayy, that He doesn't even sleep or go close to sleepiness for even a moment. You understand? Affirmation, Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. And negation, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Clear? Okay. So, This is why we have to believe in all of the attributes and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا عُدُولَ So there is no alternate, there is no deviation لِأَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ for the Ahlu Sunnah and Jama'ah عَمَّا from that which جَاءَ بِهِ He has brought الْمُرْسَلُونَ the messengers. When this is the case and the people who wish to follow the Sunnah and remain with the Jama'ah, can they leave what the prophets brought? Is there any alternate to that? Can we leave it in any way? No, we cannot. Why? Because فَإِنَّهُ الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ Because indeed it is the straight path. This is the right way. What is the right way? Following the Qur'an and adhering to the Sunnah. And that is the way of who? صِرَاطُ الَّذِينَ The path of those people who أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ Whom Allah was pleased with. Whom Allah showed favor to. And who are they? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ From the prophets. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ And the truthful. وَالشُّهَدَاءَ And the martyrs. والصالحين and the righteous. So, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is what they wish to follow. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم And who are الذين أنعمت عليهم? النبيين, صديقين, شهداء, صالحين. So for us, they are the example. And this is why سمعنا وأطعنا فلا عدول There is no turning away, there is no deviating from the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, from the teachings of the Qur'an. So in summary, how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be described? What kind of descriptions will we believe in? The answers are all given here. مَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَبِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ Right? And then the reasons are given. لَا سَمِيَّ لَهُ لَا كُفْأَ لَهُ لَا نِدَّ لَهُ لَا يُقَاسُ بِخَلْقِهِ Why? Because فَإِنَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِنَفْسِهِ وَبِغَيْرِهِ أَصْدَقُ قِيلَ أَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا And then, why should the Prophet's teachings be left anyway? They're صادقون, they're مصدوقون. And, فَسَبَّحَ نَفْسَهُ عَمَّا وَصَفَهُ بِهِ الْمُخَالِفُونَ لِلْرُسُلِ And سَلَّمَ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ And وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ He himself has told us about certain attributes and he has negated certain other attributes. So how can we deviate from that? لَا عُدُول You understand? لَا عُدُول عُدُول is انحراف. So there is no turning away. We don't have an option. We are followers. And when we're followers, we have to take the Qur'an and Sunnah. There's no third way of understanding and knowing Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the right path. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.